All right, so the motion is, the motion before us is to hear Ursula's report, have the question and answers with Ursula tonight, and put off the question of dealing with the elections, including the chair election, until tomorrow morning. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Okay, those opposed. So can you count them? Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
Did you count my hand?
Oh, 10. Oh, okay. All right, we're in for a long night, folks. Okay. Ursula?
Did you
don't
call for abstentions?
Oh, I'm sorry, abstentions.
Marky, you could vote.
I'm not going to vote. Okay. Let's go.
Ursula.
Ursula, welcome. Ursula Rudenberg.
Hi, everybody. Brian is a really great public speaker. I'm going to use some notes to make sure that I stay on point in terms of time-wise. My name is Ursula Rudenberg. For those of you, some of you don't know me. I'm the affiliates coordinator for Pacifica. And manage the affiliate network, which is somewhere between 160 and 190 affiliates. There's fluctuation almost on a weekly basis. And we have affiliates throughout the United States. We have, I think, about three or four affiliates in Canada. And we have affiliates in Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico. And we even have an affiliate in Zurich and Paris. So it's a really great world, and I understand in a way that what the presentation I'm making tonight is for a new idea, and so I would like to just give you a little bit of background about where I'm coming from and the people that have worked on this project so you get a sense of where this is all coming from. I got involved with Pacifica in working for Pacifica around 2000. And the reason I got involved, which I think is very much like most of you, I was looking for community and suddenly realized that while I was looking for community, I was constantly listening to WBAI. I was living in New York at the time. And so I decided to get involved. And what I found was really a community that felt right beyond my wildest dreams. I discovered that this is a worldwide community, and in my opinion, the people that work in this community are the best of humanity. I have had the honor of getting to know people who are independent, ethical, resourceful, and on the forefront of democracy. And so I love this community. I love doing my job, and I feel that in my job I am not only working, I'm building and helping to expand the world that I want to live in myself. But this world is having difficulty, and this is the world that we all love, and I think we all know that it's having difficulty. Pacifica is having financial difficulties, and one of the problems that the affiliated stations share with us in this current media environment and economic environment is that our traditional funding models are no longer completely sustaining us, and we're all struggling with the basic bottom line. Pacifica is not entirely unique in that. It's my job to discuss finances all the time with affiliates because I negotiate contracts with them, most of them on a yearly basis. And so I have very intimate and honest and frank conversations with many, many people in community radio. And this is a problem that we're all sharing. And the newest standards of the CPB effectively rule out eligibility for many community radio stations. Station development grants often require reorganization of the stations. And I fully respect the CPB, and I respect that the models that they ask people to undertake work for a lot of stations. They serve to bring in professional standards to these stations. However, they can go against the very grassroots nature and unique local cultures that make so many of our affiliates such special radio stations. It often requires also a scale of operations that is not desirable or possible for many of these stations. I'm currently involved in building a new station in Ames, Iowa, and am learning all over again how precious the process is of coming up with our own way of working together as we make the station at a pace that feels right to us and staying right-sized for who we are, and that there is no way to put that into a formula. Part of the beauty of it is that we teach ourselves through collaboration, community collaboration. And to date, I'm not aware of any substantial and ongoing national initiative whose explicit mission is financial viability for independent, locally managed community radio that supports the quirky, grassroots, outspoken nature of many community radio stations.
Excuse me, Ursula. Could somebody ask the people in the hallway to lower their voices?
Close the door.
Close the door. Stop yelling at each other.
So for the past 4 or 5 years, I've been acutely aware of this problem as it's been growing. We don't want to lose any of the stations in our network, and we are losing them. There are, every year, there's a few more that disappear. And so I've been asking myself this question. What if community radio could continue to produce independent, bold, creative, and even provocative programs, and in so doing, attract exactly as much funding as it needs? So in thinking of this question, I think back to one of the earliest days when I was being schooled by many affiliates, when I was new at my job, and I was at an NFCB meeting, National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which is our professional association. And I was sitting in a bar with my colleague, Dina, who has been working on the affiliates program for many years, and Norm Stockwell, who is the operations manager for WORT in Madison, Wisconsin. And what Norm said to us was, we love getting programs from Pacifica. It's very important to us. But we also make really great programming. And we, as much as getting programming from you, we want Pacifica to help us share programming with each other. And we want to be able to syndicate our programs, and we want Pacifica to provide the infrastructure for that. And he took out a paper napkin, and on a piece of paper on the napkin, he just wrote an outline. He said, this is exactly what we want. And it was essentially the outline for an online facility that allowed everybody in the network to distribute their programs to each other. And so we took that napkin home, and in 2003, we built the Pacifica Audio Port. And for those of you that are not familiar with Audio Port, it's essentially an online service where everybody in the network, all producers at all in throughout the network, and also independent grassroots producers, can self-upload their shows and self-syndicate their programming. And this was before SoundCloud. This was before cloud sourcing. And it effectively transformed the Pacifica network. We went from a situation of isolation at Pacifica and gave birth to a living, breathing, grassroots production network that was led by Pacifica. And I learned something very important from this experience. When we were thinking of building the audio port, almost everybody we talked to told us that it would not be possible, that too many things could go wrong if we allowed people to just have such autonomy in terms of distributing programming. And there were too many liabilities and too many things could happen. We went ahead and did it anyway. None of the problems that people predicted have happened. And what we learned was that in our network, in our national network with all of our affiliates, we have a very special culture of mutual interest and cooperation. And that has absolutely held in making this facility work. And the cooperative aspect of our network opens up incredible amount of possibilities. So I began to ask myself, what if our network also has economic and social potential as well as radio production? Because in a sense, what's happened is we've experienced a market shift where before the need was in programming, now there is the very, very clear need, there is no mistaking this, is in sustainability. That is, and one of the things I've learned about survival during times of financial crisis is that needs shift, and the businesses that survive are the people that are able to adapt to new needs. So to test this out, so I began to ask, does the fact that we have a network actually have value in this area? So to test this out, I was in New York a few years ago, and I was at a environmental fair, and I went to a table of Equal Exchange. Most of you know Equal Exchange. It's a fair trade company. We mostly know it because of their coffee. And I saw them there, so I went up and I asked their representative. I said to him, hypothetically speaking, I am working with a network of about 200 community radio stations. Would you be interested in having a relationship with us? And they said, well, hypothetically speaking, that's a no-brainer. Of course we do. You are our target market. And of course we would want to have a relationship with you. But we don't want to work with individual radio stations. We want to work with a network. We want one point of contact. So that was a very interesting piece of information that I got. So I began to search for a simple but effective way to find financial resources for community radio through our network potential. And Heather and I began talking about this intermittently about 4 or 5 years ago. It's kind of an ongoing exploration. And I said earlier that I'm not aware of a national initiative for sustaining grassroots radio, but there is a regional model for this in Minnesota. And I've been told that community radio in Minnesota was having trouble competing financially with Minnesota Public Radio. And so they developed an organization called AMPERS. And Janice is one of the founders, or the founder, I'm not sure the exact history, but so she can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But AMPERS has demonstrated the kind of success and independence that I was looking for, so I asked Janice to share the model with me. And since then, I've been working on adapting the AMPERS model into a program that I'm presenting here. It's designed as a case study and for evaluation after 6 months. And so that's the presentation I want to show you here. And I want to make clear, first of all, I think it's very clear this is a program to be implemented in the affiliate network. This is not a proposal for the Pacifica sister stations. But it is designed to benefit Pacifica as well as the stations. Also, I want to be clear, the goal here ultimately is not to do this one project. The goal here is to use our network power to help spark an upward spiral in our economic situation and in our branding as far as an organization that can attract other types of financial help. So the goal here, ultimately, the prize is the upward spiral, not this one specific project. Now I have to figure out what happened. It's on my computer, but it's not on there. Is John still? John, do you know why that? It's not. It's not doing it.
Go help her.
It was there for a while. Now it's gone. I don't know why it disconnected from the. It disconnected from the projector, not from the. Oh, there it is. Oh, okay. It was.
John just had to walk over.
And now it's gone. Cause yeah, it's gone. See, okay. This is this proves my theory that when men walk into the room, machines behave. There it is again. Okay, see, now I scared it. Okay. Okay. So let me make this work. Okay. I'm going to try and, I not drag you through every single thing, but I'll try and paraphrase what's on here because I know everybody's tired. So basically, what we're asking you to embark on with us in a test case is a group underwriting project that is centrally managed by Pacifica, and the purpose of it is to attract large underwriters to air on affiliate stations, to get higher rates from them, and to make them accessible to stations that normally can't attract them, because a lot of stations are not in areas that are particularly attractive to underwriters, and are maybe new stations, and don't, you know, have approved listenership yet. And the larger goal is to create an income base for community radio stations as a media, including Pacifica. It's a case study, as I said. And also what we're asking to do is to develop the affiliates program into a unit to provide it for the managerial platform for viability. Leadership, and we're also looking to really cultivate a new leadership role for Pacifica. As the founders of community radio, I want us to also be seen as the sustainers for community radio. And finally, there's tremendous potential for community radio to become a resource for listeners for finding and supporting goods and services that are uplifting and visionary, restoring the planet, and furthering economic democracy. So, because everybody's tired, I'm going to decide to put this slide next and just cut to the chase, because I know this is one of the issues that has already been expressed to me from numerous people as of a great concern. So, who are the underwriters? Where are we going with this? Many affiliates have been doing underwriting for many, many years and have developed considerable sophistication in dealing with this thorny question. They have learned how to sort out underwriting in the area of mission. So the mission that we've expressed so far is to help community radio listeners find companies and organizations that are leaders in social justice, environmental sustainability, economic democracy and transparency, and to support them, these efforts, and to receive important information from them as well. Some of the examples I was listing here, and again, these are only some examples because this is an amazing world that is developing in this area. There's cooperatives and unions. There's companies with a sustainable focus, fair trade companies that support self-determined enterprise for indigenous people, companies that support a living wage for artisans and small farmers, working to eradicate poverty, environmental education initiatives, health, green education, public service announcements such as health, actions that people can take to invest in green energy, identifying in avoiding greenwashing, tips for green travel, how to find sweat-free clothing, and many other things. Socially conscious companies that pioneer transparent democracy in their financial models and workplace conditions, responsible investment for social change, and print media that has been developing in the last 10, 15 years for social change, such as Yes Magazine, the Green America catalogs, and Saved Seed catalogs, and many other innovations that are happening. So I want to be clear that where I'm coming from is, yes, one could say that mission creep is a fear that we rightfully consider. It's absolutely an important issue. But I'm inviting you tonight to also think about approaching this from a different point of view. There is so much happening in the world right now. in the area of pioneering business and NGOs, various organizations, whose explicit purpose is to build a new and visionary approach to what, let's face it, is part of culture, commerce, and there is so much happening, and I invite you to contemplate the possibility that maybe we connect to this and could even possibly be left behind in some areas of tremendous innovation that are happening. And so I know you can't read it here, so I'm just going to paraphrase real quickly. I'm giving two examples of the mission statements of some of the organizations that I've been looking at or talking to. One of them is Equal Exchange. And, for instance, their description of themselves is that they were founded to challenge the existing trade models which favor large plantations, agribusiness, multinational corporations. They support small farmers, and they connect consumers and producers through information, education, and the exchange of products in the marketplace. They say they have joined a growing movement of small farmers, alternative traders, religious organizations, and nonprofits throughout the world with like-minded principles and objectives. Underlying our work is the belief that only through organization can small farmers survive and thrive. An alternative trading organization is a mission-driven business aligned with the fair trade movements aiming to contribute to the alleviation of poverty in developing regions of the world by establishing a trade that allows marginalized producers in developing regions to gain access to developed markets. So I took the trouble to, you know, to read that for you because I want to express the kind of mission that one of these organizations is putting forth and really ask you, is there some compatibility between this mission and what we're doing? And if so, could we benefit and could they benefit by the energy in participating in this kind of thing? Another example I wanted to give you was the Green America. I have their catalog here. Some of you might have known them formerly as Co-op America. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really interesting to look through these things because they really compile all of this activity. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about their catalog was that you have many, many organizations. I'll just read one here. This is called Invest in Women. And it says, by investing in the Win-Win Community Investment Node, you empower women around the world. And it's now what's interesting thing about this is that they took out a full-page ad in this. Okay, so they're trying to get their name out nationally. Another example is this is an example of the kind of public service thing that Green America makes. It says, how does your chocolate rank? Mm-hmm. And it rates it by, you know, ethical standards. Here's another one. 10 easy ways to cut energy use in half. So I think you get the drift. Here's another one. It says, we don't buy gun stocks. We never have. So what you have here are two things. One is a number of organizations that want to get their name out nationally. The other thing is you have an organization, a catalog like National Green Pages, who invest in full-page ads where basically they are giving out public information about how to participate in sustainability and ethical commerce. What this says to me is that it's worth it for them to get their message out. So, okay. So this is what we're looking to do. I mean, this is the world that I'm looking to connect with this underwriting project. Now, the public service messages they're doing are interesting, too, because a lot of underwriters are actually people that want to put out a public service message. And so I could imagine one of these pages like, you know, how can you get ethical chocolate? That's a public service message that the National Green Pages might pay to get out on community radio. So that is, I wanted to really take a minute to explain that to you because I wanted you to understand where we're coming from on this. And it's really a vision of helping radio listeners to access the kind of businesses and organizations where they feel they can invest their money ethically and support that kind of economic democracy. There's also a whole lot of very interesting things going on, like with Richard Wolff talking about new forms of democracy and transparent workplaces. And so it's a very, very exciting movement, and there's a lot of people who want to work together and I think would want to work with Pacifica. And so anyway, this is a little bit wonky, but I'll see if I can. Okay, so this is the can I take a little bit of water?
Oh, please.
This is the kind of where's the money page here. This is what we're projecting that in terms of income. We're saying that based on what we've learned from AMPERS, that we're projecting that in the first 6 month case study, that we think we could bring in a total annual income of about $180,000. That's a half annual income. And the income then would be divided between Pacifica and the affiliates. And the annual income divided between the affiliates of that money would be $72,000. And the total income to Pacifica would be $108,000. And we are asking that the funding be split kind of down the traditional Pacifica lines, where 20% would go to the national organization and 80% would go to the affiliate program. And so what we're projecting is that within 5 years, the total annual income would rise to about $540,000 with a $64,000 almost $65,000 income for the national organization. Now, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Janice, but I think these are very conservative numbers.
Yes, they are. We started in 2003 at $30,000, and as of 2011, our annual income was $330,000.
Yeah. So the bottom line is this has the potential to make money, serious money. And that is why we chose this project, because even though our larger goal really isn't this particular project, we understood very well that there, at the beginning of any initiative to create a funding muscle, so to speak, the most important thing to do first is to show proof that it actually can work. And this project, I'm convinced, will work. It almost can't fail and will demonstrate considerable income. I want to just show you tell you a little bit about AMPERS, because another very important component of our taking this project as our first case study is that it is based upon the success that came before us. So we're benefiting from their success. AMPERS is an association of 15 community radio stations in Minnesota. And their approach is kind of an open source approach. Even though they developed this program, their goal expressly is to help other people benefit from the program as well. And so they have been extremely generous, starting with Janice and moving on to the current director, whose name is Joel, in terms of giving us as much information as they can and also to pass on to us what they've learned. And what they've learned are some very important things in terms of how this has brought people together through shared need. And also one interesting thing they told us is there's tremendous potential both in regional and national level. So we kind of have the best of both worlds because we're both. Or we can constitute ourselves as both. Okay. We looked very carefully at the conditions favoring our success, and most markably, AMPR started at zero, and a great portion of their work was inventing the wheel. We have their model to work with, so we don't have to invent the wheel. AMPR's had to build a parent organization to manage their project. We don't have to do that. Pacifica is already an established organization with a widely recognized brand and a substantial network already in place. AMPR's has 15 stations. We have over 170 stations. And this is, you know, so far every affiliate I've spoken with, I don't even get past explaining, you know, the first few sentences before they say, yeah, we'll do that. So this sells itself for obvious reasons. AMPR's had to build new underwriting contacts. Pacifica will benefit for AMPR's. AMPR's has been clear that they will be happy to collaborate with Pacifica and pass on any contacts that, you know, they can. AMPR's has a limited geographic scope in Minnesota. We have stations all over the country in completely diverse geographic and cultural areas, and so we are much more attractive to underwriters because we have such a diverse listenership to offer and such a large market. There are some risks involved. It is an investment of Pacifica staff resources. A certain amount of time will be taken away from client services to build it, and there'll be extra work for the administrative staff. One of the ways we're addressing this is by streamlining our staff operations to make things work easier. Another risk is that management mistakes in this project could be costly. It could lead to loss of clients and affiliates if we screw this up, and our reputation could be on the line. So we are doing this as a six-month case study to understand how to do this right, and we are also asking to transition the affiliate department into a unit structure so that it can sustain this level of activity and effectively handle the workload and liabilities to ensure success. And we are continuing with strategic investment in professional development. We have some very, very good business advisors in this area. What we're really asking for at this point, or have actually received approval for at this area, is that we implement this as a case study, and at the end of it, there will be a survey and evaluation with an executive summary to explain what happened. And we want to be finished with this by the end of September, so that on October 1st, when the new contracts go out, if the project succeeds, it can be part of the contracts with affiliates. It'll be optional. No affiliate will be forced to work with this. It'll be an optional membership in this program. We ask for a process with regular communication with the national office to help develop the managerial support we need. We're asking for a bank account and a person to help with managing our records and financial dealings, and hope to evolve that into a bookkeeper position. And we're asking for some staffing adjustments, adjusted job descriptions, adjusted salaries and commission for the sales force, and some increased staff hours in relation to income and workload. Speaking of that, I do want to go back one again to the slide before where we talked about dividing up the money. I want to clarify one thing. Currently, the affiliate program we're projecting it should bring in about $230,000 in affiliate fees. Usually, it's brought in about $250,000 up until about 3 years ago. And approximately 70% of that money goes directly to the foundation. Currently, the affiliate program really operates on practically no resources other than staff salary, cost of a cell phone, and the cost of going to two conferences a year. Other than that, there are no significant investment being made in the affiliate program. So when we, you know, say we would like to have salary adjustments, what we're saying is that we would like our conditions to improve, but we are not asking for a free lunch. We are not taking this out of the money that's already going to Pacifica. We are looking for a way to provide the resources ourselves for improving the conditions of the affiliates program. And in the meantime, improving the condition of the network as well and community radio in general. So the way we define success is if a new and reliable income stream is created for grassroots community radio, including Pacifica Foundation, and that the income will strengthen the affiliate program and expand the mission and reach of community radio and give people a new reason to affiliate with Pacifica. Another measure of success is that Pacifica becomes a leader in creating a national resources dedicated explicitly to financial sustainability for grassroots radio. It is a good and noble goal, as far as I'm concerned, and it's a big goal. And a goals like this naturally attracts people who want to invest in causes such as this. And so the goal is also to improve our brand as a place for people to want to come and bring support. And our goal also is that the income exceed our expenses within the first year, and that we do so without increasing any of Pacifica's fixed costs. So, and what do we want to do with this? We have a wish list. It's kind of open. It's an open world. But we do want to contribute financially at Pacifica Radio and alleviate the stress on the sister stations. One goal of mine has always been is to reduce the central services for Pacifica stations and just make it easier for them to function. We want to make help provide income for national initiatives like national programming. And I want to thank Brian again for his report, because it brought to my attention that I neglected to put in the slide that the archives is another area that we would want to hope to provide more money for.
Yay!
So we want to support staff income. We want to upgrade the audio port to make us a more competitive facility. We need to compete with other syndicating websites by now, and upgrades for audio port would be great. We want to fund development for a Pacifica portal and general website, which would be a website for bringing in all sorts of forms of money for community radio. And eventually, we would love to create an emergency fund for community radio. So those are some, that's kind of part of our dream wish list. Now, this is a portrait of exactly how this would work. And I think it's the second to the last slide. And my question to you at this point is, do you want me to talk you through this, or is this a little bit too much information at this point? This is basically an explanation of how the business plan actually works to make money.
Do it.
Do it? Okay.
I'm on the board side.
Joyce Hayes.
Okay. Anybody else? Does anybody else really want to walk through this? This is exactly how this works. This is where the money is.
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just real quick. I'm wondering. Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
I'm wondering if it was possible, if you can email that. That whole,
yes,
this whole presentation to the board?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll try to make this clear. And what? Janice, if I screw it up, you tell me, because Janice helped make this formula.
I've seen it. You've got it right.
Okay, good. So, all right. So basically, what happens is we either approach a, so let's take Equal Exchange, since we've been there, we've talked to them before. They come to us or we go to them, and we say, okay, would you like to do an underwriting campaign in our network? And they say, yes. And then so what we do is we agree on how much they're willing to pay for that. Now, as far as I understand, that very often has to do with marketing budgets of organizations like this. So there's really kind of no blueprint for that. So we agree on how much they want to spend. And then we say to them, okay, we have 50 stations in our program, and they are located in all these different areas. This is who we have. What are you looking for? And they may say, well, in this campaign, we're particularly interested in reaching minorities, or we're particularly interested in reaching urban populations, or we're interested in reaching, health-oriented people. So who do you have that are particularly interested in that area? And we know these stations all inside and out. These are, very familiar. So we can say, okay, and we've also been surveying the stations and about what their particular areas of interest are or their listenership. So we say, okay, you're looking for urban areas. This is what we have. We have Atlanta. We have Detroit. We have Denver. We have Spokane. And so they say, well, yeah, we want the stations that are in the areas with a population above a certain number. Okay, fine. So those become the active stations in that particular campaign. And so then these stations then work with us, or we provide for them the underwriting message that will go on their airwaves, and we will work out with them whether they are willing to put it on drive time or not, and how much their underwriting is usually worth on their station. Based on those calculations, and there really is no one way to do it, we come up with a formula that demonstrates how much value is being given to the underwriter to justify what they pay us. Okay, so, and then this all happens. We make sure the stations air the underwriting. They have to send proof to us that it's happening. And we get the kind of certification that all this actually did happen as promised. Then the underwriter pays us. We take the money, and then we divide it up. We take 15% of that money goes automatically to every single station in the program, whether they aired the underwriting or not. They simply get a dividend for being part of the program. Then 25% of the income is divided up between the stations that actually aired the underwriting. And their share of the 25% depends on what their value is and how often they underwrote it. And, the size of their market. So that's the money that gets divided up between the affiliates. Then that's 40%. So then 60% of the money goes to Pacifica for administrative costs. That's basically the formula. That's where the money goes.
Got it?
Well, that's the business formula. So the last slide is just that we're committed to making this venture a success for all of Pacifica. We have a model of success and mentors who provide the know-how, and we have very meticulously thought this out, and we know it will work. So we are ready to start.
Okay. We got a little sloppy around Brian DeShazer's report because everybody wanted to tell how much they loved PRA. But that's fine with me. But I want to say this time, you only get to ask a question, and it one question per customer, and Ursula will be able to respond. But I don't want...
Point of information?
Yes.
When will we have an opportunity to approve this
We
need to approve it?
I don't know. We've got to add it to the agenda, I agree. But... okay, I'm sorry. Does someone else have a proposal?
It's approved.
May I say... what do you mean it's approved?
You should say that.
Who said that? As far as I understood, this was approved by the executive director.
That's another question. Does it need our approval?
I don't know.
That's a good question. What's your pleasure? How do people want to approach this? It's 10:30 at night. You want to go around the room and you can talk or ask questions or do whatever you want. You get a minute, right? Nope. That'll guarantee we're here for an hour. Okay. You ready for that? Okay. Here we go. Oh, Brian.
Okay. The entire presentation is about one proposal. Incredibly detailed. Thank you. Are you asking for the board to take any action? Specific action?
This is not my role to determine. No, I'm not. I wanted the opportunity to explain this to the board because it was clear to me that there were people that had questions about it. So I want you to know what we're doing, and specifically, Summer wanted you to know what we're doing, and she had asked me to present this.
Point of information, is Summer in the house to respond to the point that she has approved this?
I haven't heard her. Where is she?
I was trying to save us what might come next.
I just have a suggestion.
Go ahead, Brian.
I think...
Shh. Brian has a suggestion. We're going to listen to him right now. We have a question for you, Summer.
Wait. It's 10:30. We're not at our best. I know I am not at my best. I know underwriting is a hot-button topic for some people, and we've just had a whole lot of data thrown at us. My suggestion is, since Ursula has already indicated that she's available tomorrow, that we will probably take less time and less acrimony going through this discussion if we do it after a night's sleep. So my suggestion is we table before everyone whose hand shot up take us past midnight tonight, because that's what I think we're looking at.
That's right.
It's already almost 10:40.
I'd like to have this email to us, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you do that? Hold on a second.
I've amended it since I gave it to you.
Sorry. Okay. Hold on a second. Okay, just a second. Some people asked, wanted to know if Summer has already approved this, if it's even necessary for the board to approve it. So that's, there appeared to be a request in the presentation for approval from the board.
Okay, sure. This was first presented to me at the NFCB conference last June, with Janice was there, and Ursula presented before it was this fully developed, but the general concept to see if there was feedback from the affiliates, and there was. That was positive. She presented it to me not that long ago. I felt it did not implicate the sensibilities of the organization on not having underwriting on the five sister stations, and that many community radio stations do in fact have underwriting and wish to have underwriting, and that this maximizes our client services essentially while creating an additional revenue stream for the organization. So yes, I have, I think I put in my board report from January 23rd that I had green-lighted the project. You know, I've already opened her a bank account. We have a lockbox. We keep addressing things that are referenced here. But yes, I felt that that she should come make a presentation to the board so that you knew what the project was. I don't know that it's necessary for the board to necessarily approve this, but that you would
That's
be aware
fine.
Of it.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Fine. Okay. Brian made a motion to table, which is not discussable.
I recommended we table.
Oh, you didn't
Having
make a
made
motion.
An argument, I can't make the motion.
Thank you.
I'm recommendation.
Lydia.
Okay, so my substitute recommendation is to just take the 1 minute. We can get deeper into it later. However, when this was reported to us in a meeting, an actual meeting for Pacifica, I personally raised the issue that this needed to be discussed at this meeting. And you know, Summer agreed because of the issue of underwriting. 13 years in advertising, and Ursula, that was one of the best presentations
Thank
I've
you.
Heard. Up there with Chevy and Giorgio and Neutrogena that I service. But, see, I'm getting compliments.
Well, at least I get that.
However,
what's your proposal, Lydia?
So my proposal is that for those that want to do this while it's hot, right, that we get a minute to speak to the matter, and then if we want to get more in-depth into it, it is an issue for Pacifica. They do not want the little affiliate stations. They want us to be the point of reference. I did it all the time in advertising because what you want is the big fish. We're the big fish within that context. That's number one. There's no doubt.
Wait.
Can I do my minute so you don't have to go back again?
Oh, yeah. Finish.
Okay.
Brian, timer.
So there's time.
I can't. My battery only lasts 14
there's
hours.
Count with your finger.
Okay, hold on.
There are tons of ways to make.
Lydia, we haven't agreed to your proposal. So let me ask if there's any objection to Lydia's proposal, which is that we would ask questions and Ursula would have an opportunity to respond. We'll go around the table. Everybody gets to ask one question.
No, that's not my proposal.
Or make a speech. You can make.
No, you could do whatever you want.
You have a minute, though, right?
That's right.
Okay, that's the proposal.
A minute, including Ursula's response?
No, you each get
a
minute.
I'll talk fast.
Okay, does anybody object to that proposal?
Wait, I don't understand it.
We're going to go around the table, and everybody's going to get a minute if they want it.
So the proposal is we all talk, Ursula says nothing?
No, she gets to respond. If you ask her a question, she gets to respond.
For how long?
A minute.
I'll just do yes and no.
Just a minute.
A minute, okay? Minute. Thank you. And Janice says she'll keep time.
Yeah.
Okay. And Janice doesn't have a big machine like his, but you just have to yell at people. That's okay. All right. Does anybody object to this proposal? Hank?
Yeah, I do, and I would almost like to retract my earlier motion. I would like everybody to have a chance to digest this before and make more informed, more competent questions and do this in the morning so that we can just set the chair thing out of the way for our listeners that complained all day about that. And take care of our listeners right now and do this in the morning. And it was a great presentation.
Thank you.
Okay. I realized we never voted on your motion, Hank. We voted on George's amendment, but we didn't vote on your motion. We did?
No, we did not.
Yes,
okay, thank you. I'm foggy, I apologize. Boy, you're bald. Yeah, Brian's point. Okay, so I'm going to call on Rodrigo and then Carolyn.
Well, basically, Rodrigo Argueta from KPFK. We're going to take probably another 20 minutes if we start debating motions and everything, so it's better if we just take the time, whether we go for 1 minute and all the way around, or we decide right on the spot, by calling the question, to decide what we're going to do, because we don't want to really go over and over, and spend 40 minutes, discussing this issue, whether we postpone it or not. Please reconsider. I hope we can reconsider. It's not my question, okay?
Got it. Okay. All right. Who did I call on over there? Carolyn. Yeah.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden, BAI. I would really like, I have a few questions that I would like, and we may not have a chance to ask Ursula again. So I would like to do it tonight, and I see maybe 4 or 5 people have questions. So I don't think we'll be here too long, but I think it's really important.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask, is there any objection to doing what Lydia proposes? We go around the table 1 minute, you can make a speech, you can read poetry. Is there any objection?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so then let's take a vote. Can we take a vote? Is that all right? You're all ready for this? Okay, so the proposal is we go around the table 1 minute for a board member, 1 minute for Ursula if she has to answer a question, and we'll just do it. That's the idea. All those in favor of that proposal, please raise your hands.
What's the alternative?
The alternative is we'd have to figure out the alternative. Oh, Hank's alternative is to, he would make them, if this, okay, is somebody counting? I'm sorry, I need a counter, I apologize.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay, opposed, those who are opposed.
Can't vote twice.
You have to put your hand down.
Opposed to Lydia's proposal.
I don't think they got it.
Okay, fine. We're going to go for it. Rodrigo.
All right.
Question. It's basically, When you started,
point of order or point of parliamentary, don't we need two-thirds vote to change the agenda? I mean, we have been doing that all along.
We're just making a procedural. This is, I think, that's my suggestion.
Okay, point of information.
He's got 1 minute. Yeah, he's got 1 minute. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
It's dead. 14 hours is its limit.
Okay.
Janice is timing. She's timing. When she says your time is up, you stop talking. Okay, no, let's go.
Thank you.
Two things. One, it's a question, and one is a comment. I'll start with the comment. The comment is that I don't know, but it seems to me a little bit fishy. And it's a nice, very nice presentation. It's too good to look through, you know, and I don't know. It really scares me because it's bringing, you know, our foundation to something that, you know, I mean, you know, can drag us, you know, to somewhere at the end, you know, doing Exxon things, you know, and stuff like that. So, but you started, you know, saying that it has nothing to do with, you know, the foundation. So it has to do with only the affiliates or, what? You know, what is it? Because the way that you're selling the issue, it's whether Pacifica wants to somehow, anyways, open, you know, our foundation to the underwriting. That's what it sounds to me, you know. Like.
What I said was that the underwriting is not on the Pacifica stations. It's not an underwriting program for the Pacifica stations. It's about underwriting on the affiliates. The answer to your first thing about it being too good to be true, I would invite you to meet the world of the affiliates program. It's a wonderful world. I'm serious. I think I am the person who's having the absolute most fun at Pacifica because it is a wonderful, wonderful community.
Go ahead.
And it really is that good.
I just want to say, I think you're correct.
Identify ourselves.
Oh, Tony Norman, WPFW. And I think you're correct that you're the only one at Pacifica having fun.
Sorry, I got you.
I don't have a question because I've been talking and working on this for a long time as well. Wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. And thank you in particular, Ursa, talking about the creative and sustainable and work out there and opportunities for all of us. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all your work on it, too.
Janet Coburn, KPFA. I'm the identify yourself police. First of all, some of it goes to Pacifica, so it's sort of underwriting.
This is true.
I am very concerned about slippery slopes, and so some nonprofits. I'm wondering, you might have said this and went past me. I'm curious about your vetting process of nonprofits, because sometimes hidden deep in nonprofits, like boards of directors, etc., might be associated with corporations or whatever. So that's my question. What kind of vetting do you do?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, and I really, really appreciate you saying that. It's interesting because in my dealings with Equal Exchange, I've come across like a whole thing going on where there's a split happening in the fair trade movement, where, you know, some people are saying that the Fair Trade Association has mission drift, and organizations like Equal Exchange are distancing themselves from the fair trade organization. So, you know, this stuff, it's true. It's everywhere. And, I guess, you know, there's a number of things I would say about that. One is that, first of all, there's quite a bit of sophistication in the affiliate world in thinking about these things. This has been thought about a lot for many years from some very, very good people in the country. The other thing is that I think that we can trust ourselves to figure that out. I sincerely believe that. And I say that this is not spin. I sincerely believe that this organization has the capacity to tease that out. And I agree. I think the vetting process needs to be transparent, and there needs to be standards established, and there needs to be a lot of input from that. That's going to be a very important part of this. And The third thing I want to say is that it's a slippery slope, but also there's a lot of really fabulous things going on that we could be part of, too.
Sorry, point of order. It was 1 minute. For the answers as well, was what Margie said.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that what that was?
I clapped sorry. In on this. That was 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I do have one like that. Sorry.
I don't mean to jump on you. It's just...
Okay. I thought you were dead and your battery wasn't working. Yeah. And so thank you for being my double timer.
Thank you. Okay.
I can stop if you would prefer. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I was just worried we were using different language.
Yes. So it's 1 minute for the question or for the board member and 1 minute for Ursula's response, okay?
Okay.
Brian. I'm sorry. That's why I asked you because it seemed like it was going too long. I'm sorry. Jim, go ahead. Introduce yourself, please.
Yeah. Jim Brown, WPFW. I'm anxious to know exactly what we have to do
since you're late.
As sister stations and as the board and so forth to assist you in making this work, because I think it's an exciting project, but in order to make it work for us, we need to understand it more.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that. The answer is pretty simple. The affiliate program right now is not really a viable department. We need to make it viable, and what I'm asking for is that it be a unit so that it can function the way it needs to.
Benita, please identify yourself.
Benito from DC, from PFW in DC. I have a comment, not a question.
It's fine.
And that comment is that when Summer said the other day at the board meeting that she had green-lighted this proposal, I never understood that to mean, nor did I hear that that meant that the green-lighting meant that you had already or subsequently were going to establish a bank account for this. And so I find that very troubling.
No. He misunderstands. I'm misunderstanding.
No, what you said is that you had green-lighted it, and that's all you said.
May I please respond?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, it was merely a misunderstanding. I've opened a bank account for the affiliates program, the entire program, with a lockbox. I covered that in my executive session report yesterday. Not a separate bank account for this project. This is a pilot project, is what she has proposed, so that she can test out how it works and get back to us. And I did not see a problem with green lighting a pilot project to see what the results would be. If there was good response from community radio stations, from underwriters, did it work, and was it something that the department should continue with. But the bank account is for the overall affiliates program, not specific to this project.
Okay. Lydia.
Okay. Lydia Brazon, KPFK. I have no doubt about the figures and stuff and how lucrative this can be. And if the affiliates want to go there, more power to you if that's what you want. 13 years in advertising, I know the power of advertising. So that's, I have no questions about that. What I have a question about is that this board has for years been negligent about not having a policy of underwriting, even though that theme keeps coming up over and over again, which is why I raised it. And I said, until we develop that policy about underwriting, which is a huge issue, and of course there's tons of ways Pacifica can make tons of money. That's not the issue, and it's not about whether you have vetted progressive organizations or anything. It is about, do you have to have progressive organizations that have to pay to have a certain amount of access that your little organizations that are closer to what we want on our airwaves do not have the money to pay. That's why we are not a commercial station.
Well, one thing
I'm opposed to it. With all due respect, I'm opposed to it.
One thing I do want to say is that community radio stations can and do all the time air announcements for free. This in no way stops that.
Okay.
I know, because I'm involved with one. We do it all the time.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to, Hank Lamb, KPFT, Houston, Texas, 90.1 FM, listen, kpft.org, listen.
That was an ad, Hank.
That was a call to action.
No money involved.
Yes. That was a call to action. Not
it's not allowed.
Hey, 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 go. Hank gets okay. extra seconds.
We're not paying him. He's not paying.
My thing is that when I was 12 years old and first volunteered at Pacifica, the whole idea was never to become commercial in any way. When I returned to KPFT several years ago and started volunteering again and then you know, got on the LSB and now here, at no point in that was commercialism anything that we ever aspired to. So I have a real issue with us being involved in commercializing other local community you know, radio
Time.
Stations.
That's it.
Brian.
Brian, KPFA. I haven't fully formed my thoughts about this, but I tend to think that there is a difference between facilitating an underwriting agreement between affiliates that want it and imposing underwriting on the stations we own. And I think that's a distinction worth keeping in mind if it's a mutually organized thing. What I want to know is why forming a separate financial unit, what that changes for you. In other words, why you need that to make this project happen. The second thing I want to know is what your projected cost lines are in the business plans for salaries, for commissions. That's going to be coming out of the positive figures that were associated there. And the third is I want to know if you've explored any grant opportunities for seed costs.
Okay. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. There was a bunch of questions there. What was the first one again, Bryant?
Why do you need to be a separate financial unit to do this?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Right now, the affiliates program is technically part of the national office. And it relies almost completely for financial management and any sort of administrative management of substance, other than basically just kind of doing the work. But any sort of decision making, none of that can really happen independently right now because we're not a unit. And this is the bottom line. The national office is an office which probably primarily its job is to deal with the Pacifica stations. And I think you all understand that is an enormous job that is very intricate in those responsibilities. The affiliates program is an office which is designed to deal with around 200 radio stations all the time on a daily basis, day in, day out. That is a whole different level of traffic.
Time.
And right now it's not viable, period.
Thank you. Adriana.
Adriana Casnave, KPFT. I have the same reservations that some other people were expressing, because in my view, first of all, it's kind of an, you know, KPFT, my station, somebody said that we are having that ethical underwriting. And my question is, ethical underwriting, exists an ethical underwriting? I mean, I never heard NPR or other people saying that they have unethical underwriters.
Yeah, but they do.
They are underwriters. Yeah, but they are underwriters. Right? And then, and the second...
47 seconds, what's your question?
Okay. My question is will not be the same case that we have with every unit that sometimes be profitable, and then it's a separate unit, get out of the Pacifica Foundation?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. I didn't hear all of it. Cause
are we all going to separate out eventually?
Are we all going to separate out?
Like this office?
Like an affiliate. We have
No, I'm not asking to separate out. I'm asking quite the opposite.
Like a unit, a separate unit, you said. I didn't understand that part. Like for example, the archives. That is a conscious. It's like the archives.
Yeah.
What you are asking? Okay.
Okay. Manisha Sabol, WBAI. I do understand the distinction between the affiliate relationship that you want to develop your affiliate and the exemption of the Pacifica to be involved in any, you know, the five station to be anyway involved with that. That is very clear to me. But I need to think about this much more in much deeper way, because I think my fear and my concern is that these are smaller stations, and we are facility, and these are very weak stations because of the size that they are. Is that in any way we facilitate undermining the nonprofit status? And we are helping them. Although some of them may, because of the financial problem, they want to have this. But how Pacifica, with its mission, facilitates their exacerbating their weakness and dependence on the capital.
Janet Coleman, WBAI. I'm sorry.
Was that a question?
Statement.
The size of the station, I thought she was at.
Sorry.
Did you have a question, Manisha? Or did you want
to... No, answer? I just made a statement of my fear, and I need to think about it.
Thank you. Okay, Janet Coleman, WBAI, and at the risk of being snotty, I don't...
If you're going to do this, I'm going to stop, because both of us don't need to do this work.
I don't... Are you timing me beginning now?
Why don't we start you over?
Okay, Janet Coleman, WBAI. At the risk of being a little snotty, I haven't had time to edit this.
Excuse me, Janet. I'm sorry. I have to ask board members to stop talking.
Stop talking.
Please
begin
stop
again.
Stop talking. Thank
yeah?
you.
Start
and
again.
Now, start, Janet.
Janet Coleman, WBAI. At the risk of being snotty, I haven't had time to edit this. To me, this is the slippery slope for beginners. Right. To me, by the way, an award-winning radio and television commercial writer, ethical underwriting is another name for commercials, and this is a baby advertising agency. To me, it's hard enough to interpret our own mission for its ethical content, let alone examine the mission statements of hundreds of advertisers, let alone discovering who is underwriting them. To me, because I don't know, is it Koch Brothers underwriting Greenpeace or whatever? To me, administering such an elaborate underwriting program is like saying, we don't support prostitution for ourselves, but we will run such a program for our affiliates at our affiliates' bunny ranch.
A money laundering operation.
Brian.
Richard.
Oh,
okay, stop talking over there. Richard.
Thank you.
Who are you?
Uzel, Houston.
About 5.5 years ago, a fellow building member.
On the mic. Mike?
We can't hear you, Richard.
Yeah.
It's on.
Do I get to start over on this? About five and a half years ago, a fellow building committee member from Houston and myself went up to New York and worked for a couple of weeks doing renovation and trying to introduce the idea of a building committee, which you guys might want to do in Washington. It's a good idea. One of the few people that came to work was Ursula. She rolled up her sleeves, got a paintbrush, and started working. And I think you were singing a song there at one point. But I want to commend Ursula on her sincere concern for community radio and your willingness to work hard. Thank you, Ursula.
Thanks, Richard.
No response.
Go ahead.
Thank
you. Who are you?
Carolyn Burden, WBAI. I have a few questions, and I'm hoping that some of them you can answer in email so that we have time to think about them. One of them is the question of fixed costs and no increase. That phrase, it sounded to me as if there would be an investment, an initial investment by WBAI, by Pacifica, rather. And I was wondering, you know, how the timetable for investment and return and development and so on in a pilot project, what it would cost us mm-hmm. and you. Second point was Brian's question. Have you looked into grants to get started? My third point is I happen to love Equal Exchange Coffee, and I thank you for that. It's a nice place to start. I'd like to see a sample of maybe three or four. Could you send us URLs to three or four stations that whose websites would have this kind of underwriting on that you are using already, that they are using, if you have stations that are already engaging in the kind of thing that you're proposing for us. And
your
then
time is up,
that would
Carolyn.
Be models.
Time.
And then
Carolyn,
also,
your time is up.
Okay, and then, all right, I'll.
Okay. Janice.
Can I just
oh,
respond
yeah.
to,
go ahead,
to one
I'm
of her
sorry,
questions?
Yes.
I think it's pretty important, the fixed cost question. I want to be clear. The affiliates program has never costed Pacifica money, ever. It only brings in money. And so what I'm saying is that that's what I mean by fixed cost. The network has fixed costs. And so we would not go, you know, there would be no extra money. This program is only about bringing money into Pacifica, not investing any of Pacifica's money. The affiliate program gives Pacifica money. We don't take it. We've always done that.
Janice Lane, you are at Affiliates Program. Ursula, what is the approximate market share or market size of three or four examples of our affiliate programs? And are you aware of any information that's been provided to you by the Amper stations that suggests that we have not given you full disclosure on the process?
No, Ampers goes beyond being generous. They have made it clear that they want us to succeed, and that their project has made everybody in all the stations in Minnesota succeed. And some of these are very small stations. A large percentage are Native American stations who are struggling. As far as the market share, we're not really talking about small, weak stations only. We're talking about Denver. We're talking about Spokane. We're talking about Atlanta. And, yes, it's true that there are stations like the station I'm helping with in Iowa that's new. We need money. We need the money. The money is not going to hurt us. It will keep us alive. But there are also many stations in the network that are much stronger than the Pacifica stations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kim Kaufman.
Kim Kaufman, KPFK. First of all, I think this sounds really paternalistic from some people that we know better what the affiliates should do, and we don't think that they should take underwriting. They're doing it already. We're
yeah,
just
they
helping
are.
Them do it. Yeah. I mean, so they can also choose not to participate, right?
Yeah, if anybody had been there when I started my job at Pacifica, you will know what I was put through. These people are very outspoken.
Yeah,
they know
whatever.
What they're doing.
Yeah, whatever. We're just, you know, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Godspeed with this thing. I mean, hope
yeah.
it works. Something does.
Thank you.
As for being a unit, I think that's a good thing. I don't think it's going to be what you think it might be.
This may be true.
You will have to bring a budget to the NFC and, you know, go over like everybody else and have quarterly, reports to the NFC and all that kind of stuff. And
I would welcome a budget.
Yeah, no, that I mean,
I would definitely.
You know,
I cannot tell you how much I would welcome a budget.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, maybe it is all you think it will be. Maybe it won't be. Maybe
okay,
you'll have some surprises.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's good. Thanks.
George.
So this is very soft. I hate talking over people.
But if you want, I'll give you one of these, it's helpful.
I won't take more than
that. Okay.
No, I think she was doing a great job.
I just want to speak up and say that you asked me to do it. I was doing it. You stepped in to do something else. And as a... Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead, Janice.
And I, and in all good conscience, need to point out that it undermines the respect between individuals when it has been agreed that someone is going to take a responsibility and is doing it.
Thank you. I've been in that exactly that situation, and so I appreciate your comments. Please time Janice, and your voice is very fine. You do a good job. Go ahead, George.
About 6 years ago, when I got into this,
who are you?
George Ryder, KPFT, which is incidentally doing it, underwriting. Now of these kind, of exactly these kinds of organizations. About 6 years ago, there were 120 people, 120 affiliates. There are now 200. A year or two ago, there's 170 was the last number I noted. Congratulations on the terrific work you've done in expanding that network. We're living in an age when capitalism is falling apart. There are all kinds of people working together to come up with organizations that work outside the norms of capitalism. You've shared some of them. We need to be allied with those folks and not stand on the side and say, oh, well, we can't get, you know, tainted by all of this capital. We do it all the time. We're always involved in a capitalist structure, and we have to negotiate it all the time. I like what you said. We can trust ourselves to deal with this.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. This is the most exciting thing I've heard this whole weekend here. This LMA, PSOA stuff I heard, it's like, okay, no. What's happening to PFW, what's happening to WBAI, and how we're trying to help them in the stuff they're in, this is the most exciting stuff I've heard to help this station. And we need to start thinking about this, folks. We need to start getting on top of it. I love Patagonia. I'll pay the extra money to buy Patagonia, to buy organic stuff. Just got to put your money where your mouth is at, and this is going to help us.
Lawrence Reyes, KPFK. I participated in some affiliate meetings some time ago, but then I got busy and I couldn't. But I was always hoping that Puerto Rico would have that affiliate, and now they do. And I know, you know, we've been talking about this over years, you know, when I was just, you know, out there in the audience. So I really do appreciate the work that you do. But I'm just looking at the mission and objectives, and I have a lot of questions in regards to that. Mm-hmm. I also have a need to better inform myself when you send me the presentation this way, I could have a night's sleep and also be able to, have better questions for you. Thank
you. You're set.
I have some concerns. Lizette King, WPFW. I have some concerns because of the mixed messages we seem to be sending. This is a very good program, but I wonder why them and not us, especially, and this is following on from my friend's comment that so many of our stations are in problems, and how come we're not doing the same thing? But I'm also, so I'd like to know, how is it we're not violating our bylaws where we say we're not having underwriting, because this is what we say on air. And secondly, you talk about a unit. So where is this unit going to be located? And the last point is, I'm a little bit surprised that KPFT, at least one of our sister stations, doing underwriting. And when we say we're not doing underwriting at PFW, we say Pacifica doesn't. So there is I'm very concerned about the mixed messages.
Do you want to respond or
Lizette, did you want me to respond to something?
Yeah, I mean, the main question is, how are we not violating our bylaws by doing this? And secondly, if it's good for the goose, it should be good for the gander, especially now that we... And it follows on from Mr. Fuente's point. We're here talking about possibly LMAs and what have you. If this is so lucrative, why don't we do this?
My sentiments, exactly.
But the bylaws, but we have to talk
Lisa,
about the bylaws.
As far as I am not aware of any place in the bylaws that prohibits underwriting. It's tradition, but it's not a legal, prohibition. And I think that's partly why we're taking the trouble to bring the presentation to you, because there is an understanding that this is a new approach, and it is not in the tradition we're accustomed to, but there is actually no prohibition in the bylaws against it.
May I respond?
Okay. No. Okay. I think we're done now. That's with it. And we get to thank Ursula very much for all her hard work and her great presentation. All right. Yes, go ahead.
Can I just ask, I'm a little bit confused about what happens. Is there going to be more discussion tomorrow? Was that the upshot of this, or
We don't know yet.
Okay, so I'll stick around.
That would be great. Thank you. I think there are a lot of people who would like to have individual conversations with you.
I welcome it.
And you can just mail that, your presentation, email it to pmb@pacifica.org, okay. And we'll all get it on our computer screens. Okay.
Let me just say that there's a section on policy and procedures, I think, tomorrow, which would just be pretty appropriate.
Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely. Policies and procedures. Yes, Lawrence?
I think perhaps the way to email that would be to email it to Serene. This way it doesn't – well, no.
It's okay. She can just mail it to all of us. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. What? Some people don't want it. Just delete it.
Yeah, just send it to pmb@pacifica.org.
Okay. So now Hank's motion.
Point of order.
Hank's motion was that we, at this point, we deal with the chair election. I hear George Ryder has a point of order.
Yeah. It's 11 o'clock. It's actually 10 after 11. We had a time certain to adjourn at 9 o'clock. This is something that matters to me, but in any case, the point of order is we need to adjourn. The time certain is a long time past, and we never voted to extend it.
That's
and
right.
And I move that we go sleep.
I'm gonna uphold George Ryder's point of order and say that he's correct. We had a time certain to adjourn. We didn't do it. He's called that time. We come back here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and pick up where we left off. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
George, we're going to add something called a point of